shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this privilege of being here, knowing that your word is true. We have known it, Lord, by vindication, not within ourselves, Father, but by manifestation. And yet we know we would not have believed except the fact of that seed lying there waiting to be wakened unto immortality, at least for some in this particular hour. We pray, Lord, that even as the prophet brought us warning, we know it had to come by true revelation, so may the true revelation be our portion this morning, Lord. We might get help from you to overcome those things which are obstacles and yet to walk in the light, utilizing that which is from you, Lord, to bring us into this transfiguration. We commend ourselves this morning in hope and joy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're up to number 15, as far as I know, if my tabulation's correct. And we noted last Wednesday that pages 27 to 31 of The God of This Evil Age were taken up with Brother Branham explaining that Eve swapped revelation for knowledge. Now, knowledge is not inherent. That's the first thing you know. You're not born with a great backlog of knowledge. You're actually born with a mind that dwells in the mechanical facilities of the brain, which is part and parcel of the spirit. And by the use of senses, whether they be one or the other, you receive knowledge. So knowledge actually is not inherent. Now, instinct, which is inherent, is not an infallible guide as to correct judgment regarding procedure and outcome. People might confuse instinct with knowledge as though knowledge were innate. That's not so. We're instinctual. But you'll notice that it isn't granted us that these instincts are correct as to their use in order to get something which is beneficial. You'll notice that children put poison into their mouths by instinct because they instinctually they're eaters. So what we're saying is this, knowledge is obtained by education, that knowledge and education actually are the same thing. Now, the word education is played upon by teachers because it comes from Latin, educo, which means to lead out. So therefore, and that's good. So therefore, we talk of education. To real education is the leading out of the person. And if you want to apply that to the saint and the sinner, to the sheep and the hog, it's mighty good. It's mighty good. What you're getting and what you trust and what you have faith in shows whether you are a sheep or a hog. Right? It's very good when that word from the Latin, educo. All right. Knowledge is obtained by education. Knowledge is education. Now, wisdom is knowing how to handle knowledge. We say a person's very wise. He has plenty of resources at his disposal, which he has accrued through his intellect, his psyche, so on. And now he is able to sort them out, differentiate, and use them to a good and to a proper end. So we say that is wisdom, the handling of knowledge. Now notice, Eve in the garden, she is admonished by Satan to question what God said relative to what God had placed before her as part of his creation and its actual relationship to her. So Satan brought up this question. And as the first Laodicean, which she certainly was, she saw death as life, which she did. God said this tree is a bringer of death. Now Satan began in working on her instincts, her appetites, and so on. And so she saw death as life. And you'll notice that death then came by Satan's perversion. So death by Satan's perversion became life to her. And of course she died. So she's the first Laodicean. Because you have to have Alpha is Omega. And you must find in Genesis what's in Revelation. And you must find in Genesis which is a tiny seed. And you must find in Revelation what is the harvest. So when Satan talked to her concerning her orientation, which was normal or you might say natural and supernatural. He came to her and he had her questioning. Actually then, death became life. You understand what I'm saying? That's exactly true. He said to her, "Hath God surely said?" Well, she said, "This tree we cannot take of or we die." And you know the commandment of God was to live and to propagate, to multiply, to be the progenitors of all the kingdom of God, physically, normally speaking, concerning children. And so he seduced her, coming with her mind first of all. So then, death appeared life. Right? Rich, increased in goods, and don't lack a thing, got it made, hallelujah, wretched, miserable, blind, dead. Twofold. So it started there. This is what Brother Branham was calling knowledge and education. So Satan's perversion, which with death became life to her, and of course she died. Now, that's going to happen at the end time. But did you notice what Satan's prime desire was? It was to keep her from immortality. Now, she could have stayed in that particular place in Adam. In that particular place, you would have seen the millennium. Natural people bringing forth families, reared in a right environment, with the true knowledge of God, a true balance in nature. There wouldn't be sin, disease, and sickness, disappointments, and these things we see today. He tried to keep her from that, which perpetuation would have eventually entered to a place of walking in to the New Jerusalem. So now he must come and make her believe that his death is life. And he did it. So we have it today. Now, Alpha's Omega. So today, again, the church is tempted to take Satan's preaching and interpretation of the Word of God. Now, remember, it's the Word of God. And whether that Word of God is forced down people's neck, it'll be somehow in preeminence, whether people want it or not. Now, you might not understand that. Remember, when God gave Israel the word through Moses, he said, the people will either say, this is a great people with a great word. And you know how they're going to say it? He said, go in and utterly destroy the Canaanite. Get rid of the homosexual. Get rid of the perversion of sex. And the first thing those idiots did was get mixed up with the Moabites. And I was just thinking this morning how that Israelic man, that Israeli, took this Midianite woman into his tent in a lustful, sinful act. And Phinehas, a Levite, came in and took a spear right through the two of them. And I said, my God, that's horrible. I don't know what few people ever study, but I'll let it go by. Sometimes I say I'll let a thing go by. I just don't want to bring it up because I just leave it. But if you read enough of the books I've read, you'll know some of the things people have tried as an anesthetic. Doesn't work. He killed him, stabbed him right through. And God was pleased. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. This great word, this people, were to go in. And they were to go in and clean the land up so that when the land was cleansed of those filthy nations, all the rest looking in, a purified people with a semi-conscious of understanding of spiritual things could look in and say, now that is a people. Now that's what's coming up in the New Jerusalem. The bride, the pure product of the pure word, will be there in his glory, and the others looking in. And it's winding up in this day. Now the church is tempted to take Satan's preaching and interpretation of the word of God apart from true revelation, and he changes truth into a lie, or the truth, which is what it says in Thessalonians, into the lie, and people believe Satan. Now then, with this in mind, what do you think of 2 Timothy? Let's go there. I think that's it. 1 and 12. Now, let's read 11. Hey, let's read 10. Well, let's go back and read 6. Wherefore I put thee in mind and remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That's a recognition of what's there. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Now who are they going to afflict during the tribulation? The foolish virgin, and before the wise. Now watch, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, that's Ephesians, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, and who hath abolished death, and hath brought forth life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now just a minute, it was this one that appeared to Paul who brought the truth, and he's saying this not upon a historical fact, but upon the revelation of Christ risen from the dead and came back. Exactly what it says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Are you listening to me? By now you all ought to be teachers. You should be able to even know what I'm going to say ahead of time. That's it. That's possible. That's possible. Get with this word until you can. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffered these things. Now watch. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What was it? His soul. Now just keep that in mind. Now we go to Romans chapter 10. First verse, beginning, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness which is of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is the law, that man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That's being Christ down above. Now that's what it says in Ephesians, see? Or who shall descend the deep? That is being Christ again from the dead. Alright, but what said it? Now watch what it says. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now right there, the point is, what word have you got in your mouth and in your heart? Listen to me now carefully. Whose word you have in your heart and in your mouth is the one to whom you have committed your soul. Take it this morning. Get it right on your chin. Have you committed your soul to Christ or to the devil? I want to look you all in the eye. Do what you want. You say, that's not what the Bible says. I beg your pardon. That is what the Bible says, but you don't understand what it says. You've still got your sleazy Pentecostal denomination ideas in your head. Is that what it is? I read it to you. The one you serve is whose servant you are. And that starts in truth, and truth is revealed word. Then who has the world church committed its soul to? Whoever gave it the word. Well, you can talk about Jesus all you want. I'm going to say, which Jesus? In Paul's day, they had a second Jesus. Which word? They had a second word. We'll talk about that. Now listen. From what Eve did, it is very evident that if one denies true revelation, that person is powerless to not accept something else. And that something else is a knowledge contrary to God's word. You can't have your cake and eat it. That Christianity, so-called, is almost entirely devoid of the word is evidenced by the fact that this age is the one wherein the whole world will follow the beast and end up worshiping Satan, which worship is the ultimate of idolatry, and the whole world knows that that is wrong. Okay, who wants to kill Israel right now? The Gentiles haven't turned yet, but the Ishmaelites and the Edomites, and they've all turned. In America, they're wringing their hands about Saddam. Why don't they just tell Israel, hey, wipe them out. We'll give you $5 billion for what it cost you. They'd be gone overnight. You think they haven't got sophisticated weapons where they're not even afraid of Russia? You better think again. They doesn't control the paper. They control a lot of machinery, too. The world church is devoid. The Bible distinctly says that all that is called God will fall under his aegis, under his protective shield. And they've committed their souls to him because Satan doesn't have any word except God's word perverted. Notice 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, which we've noted many, many times. I'm jealous over you, the godly jealous, says verse 2. If I've espoused you to one husband, I may present you to chaste virgin to Christ. Now, what's a chastity lion? But I pray as many means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. That's an actual physical adultery he had with her. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, Satan complicated everything. And the thing is, every time you go off the word, you find a complication. But if you stick with this message and understand the vindicated prophet and the presence of Almighty God, you will have no trouble going anywhere in this message. You will not have erroneous, foolish ideas. For if he that preacheth cometh, preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, received another spirit we have not received, another gospel we have not accepted, and so on. So therefore you see there is another Jesus, he's the Antichrist. There is another spirit, it is Satan's. There is another gospel, and that is the perverted word, because that's exactly what it says in Matthew 7 and in Matthew 24. False prophets, which is found in Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, where they come with a sign and a wonder and take you away from the word. What is the word? It's that which is vindicated by God with us, saith the Lord, as it was with Moses. As it was with Paul. Jesus never came and brought the word. He was the word. That was the logos of the Rhema. The rest is the Rhema set forth with Logos coming on the scene proving it is the Rhema. Try to get that across. You never get it across. All right. Now remember, Satan started his church by illicit sexual intercourse to bring forth children to himself. What is the church doing? Tell me, is there a day like this day outside of Sodom, considering excessive sexual abuses? Where did it start? It started with an animal. I don't care if he didn't look just like a man, but better than Adam did. There's no doubt about it. See? This is harvest time. Now, on paragraph 131 and page 31, Brother Branham starts again to remind us that the another gospel that Paul mentioned is at full harvest. And the full harvest is by education, by a knowledge which is garnered by the intellect, by the senses, it's the only way it can, through the processes of the Spirit, which analyze and synthesize, but it all is based in the natural, then they take that for a divine revelation contrary to the Word of God, and it is not. Now, just before we read, let us look for some very enlightening material in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is the 4th chapter, and then we can get on with the message as Brother Branham gave it to us. In 1 Corinthians 4, 14 to 17, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. My beloved sons, I warn you. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I alone have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. And for this cause I send you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord. Now watch its faithfulness, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in the church. Now let's go to Acts 20. Verse 26, wherefore he said, I'm leaving you now, you'll see my face no more. Wherefore at this time of our parting, here's the last word I give you. I take you to record this day. Make a record. Write it down in the cornerstone. I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now I'm telling you, do what I did. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which it purchased with his own blood. And in Hebrews he also said, there obey them that have the rule over you, who teach to you the word of Almighty God. Now, in reading that, we must receive that Brother Branham also was saying the very same thing as the Apostle Paul. It's right today, the same message is in forth. Now, man believes what he wants to believe. He does what he wants to do and how he wants to do it in religion until it is entirely appearing to be, and I believe is, even though there's a modicum of scripture there, we have a religion today that at best is simply psychology. Satan is the head of it. He is the begetter. He is the instructor, he is the provider, and finally he is worship. Now, when you take what I said there and apply it to 1 Corinthians, where Paul definitely says, you are my sons in the gospel, then these are sons of Satan, proven by the very fact of what they have taken in contradistinction to the Word of God. So now you have the line of delineation, who are the children of God and who are the children of Satan. It is a word delineation. It is a word demarcation. Do what you want with it. That's right. Exactly the prophet said. There's only one evidence of being a child of God, and that is, have you gotten the word? See? Sacrifice go through just like Cain did. It won't do you any good. All right, we're going to read 131 on page 31. This modern knowledge-loving age could have no better leader than the one they've got, Satan. A perverter of the word of God, like he started off in the Garden of Eden. Already started to bring his children forth, hybrids. So Satan has word children. Hybrid word. See? But a religious person lying upon his own understanding, as I said before, Proverbs 3 and 5, lead not your understanding, they must have a God, for they are human. So God allows them what they want. He makes them. In other words, he said, okay, go right ahead. When we came here to America, we found the Indians worshiping idols. They were worshiping totem poles, which symbolize in manifestation, their own handiwork, what they really believed in and what they were sure was out there. And it wasn't out there at all. Worshiping idols, the sun, everything else. As human beings, they must have a God. So this great intellectual age must have a God. So now, the God of this world has become knowledge, denomination, science, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, their whole faith is in what they have brought forth and decreed to be the Word of God with a modicum of Scripture. Now, again then, from what Brother Branham says, we note that knowledge here is a so-called knowledge of the author of life and his ways, what he requires of us, where we're going and so on, in contradistinction to true revelation. It started by Satan, And it ends in this hour. So that's what you're looking at. That's why Brother Branham is using this knowledge-loving age. Because there's nothing wrong with people understanding what is here before us, as long as you use it the way God indicated it. Now, 132. Notice, their God makes them just what they want. In other words, He fashions them and molds them. See, they want something in life as a definitive, a philosophical structure, you might say. So, Satan gives that to them, and he molds them in that particular pattern, and that is their life, their form, and their form of worship, which is a man-made religion, a man-made worship of God, according to their imaginations, which doesn't mean that they have run riot with their thinking, they have taken drugs, or they are some nincompoops. The word imagination actually means reasonings. And the more that you have learning on your side, the more that you understand the depths of nature and phenomenon, and the more you use your Hubble telescopes and get out there in space and all, the more accurate you are going to have information concerning what really exists here and has existed and possibly could exist. And then you begin to have a more philosophical religion than ever. And you're further and further from God. Because you cannot find God through a telescope. There's no way that you can find God through science. The Bible's not a book of science, except when it makes a scientific remark, it is found to be right. Now notice, their God, Satan, makes them just what they want. They lust for the flesh. That's what he gives them. Now, lusting for flesh, of course, is an instinct. And it has to do with the, like Brother Branham said, children are born from sexual desire. Now, I realize people are very nice people, and they want a family, they want children, and what's it come from? Well, it come from under the gooseberry bush. Anybody knows that? Without sexual desire, there wouldn't be any desire for children. You know, I know you want to be a little more kind than I am, but I'm a kind man, all right. I'm a different kind of a breed. And I just lay it right on the line. See, don't let anybody try to kid you. Now, Eve was not interested in the thing what God said. She was interested in the flesh. Now, they want to wear bikinis, okay? Let them wear them, see? That's Satan. We'll let them wear them. If they want to do this and that, Satan lets them do it. That's religion. There's no harm in it. They go to church. Their mother was Methodist, Baptist, Pentecost, Presbyterian. Sure, anything at all, leave them alone. That's the God of this evil age. Smart, wise, scientific. It needs no faith. In other words, it doesn't need a definitive revelation because there isn't any requirement for it in what they have drawn up to be their life purposes. Now, if you believe you die like a dog, you ought to live like a dog. And you will. See? Now, you could even have high standards outside of God. There must be the definitive revelation, and that, of course, must be by vindication at some time or other. Now, remember that Israel believed in vindication. They believed that Moses' law was 100% right. They knew that Moses was vindicated, but when Jesus came along the fulfillment, they destroyed him, they killed him. They had no idea of what Moses was all about by the very fact they did not receive the one that was vindicated to tell them the truth. Now, people can do the same thing today, and they're in their ignorance. They say, well, now if I was back there, I'd not done it. Then how do they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh at the end time? You tell me. It shows it's the same spirit, you see. Now, let's go over here to show where Brother Branham is taking out whatever they want, they're going to get. So Satan just fashions them according to what they want. Now, in Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse 5, it says, God saw the wickedness of man on earth, man was great on earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was he only evil continually. Now, the best that he could bring forth not simply by imagining, having wild dreams and going into excesses of debauchery and other things such as murder, taking over the world until he wanted a world empire, that could be there too. The word again is reasonings. In other words, if this is so, something else must be so. If this is the case, then that is the case. They call it reasoning by a priori and different types of reasonings and so-called logic. And it's very clever. You can read volumes on it and go to court in law and confound everybody. You can take a Christian and make him look like a fool. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a red hot hell waiting for the guy that pulls that stuff. Because God bypasses the human mind. The gospel is not a product of the mind, though it must be entertained by the mind. But these people do not entertain the things of Almighty God. They are dwelling on something else. Now let's go to the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis. Read the 21st verse. Now this is when they come down over after the flood and they build an altar. And the Lord God smelled, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for any man's sake, for the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I smite again any more. Everything liveth as I have done. The next time it's fire. Now he tells you that the most that can be expected of anybody that's born in this world is to do this very thing. Now that's what Paul did. Now, what was Paul doing? Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, trained by Gamaliel, evidently a part of the Sanhedrin. And this Jesus cult was driving him crazy. So what does he do? He takes the word of the Lord, destroy utterly the Canaanite. Get rid of everybody that's contrary to your word and understanding. Because if they spread, as Brother Branham said, little Midianites are big Midianites, bring forth little Midianites, so you kill the big Midianites, you don't have any trouble with little Midianites. Now, look at Paul. He took the word of God to his own understanding. And he began killing the very children of God, not having an understanding of the word that said Abraham would be the father of many nations and of the Gentiles. You know something? They didn't give two bits for that, and they still don't give two bits for it. They only got one thing in mind. We are Isaiah 53. We as a suffering nation, we stand there to bear the guilt. And one day, merciful God, 4,000 years going on. Where are these poor Gentiles going to come in? When? 4,000 years, 5,000 years maybe later. The word given to Abraham in promise. Going to come through a bunch of Jews? Oh, that's a laugh. They're the same idolatrous devil's product in their religion is the Catholic churches and the Protestants. And a great world union. He's going to come in through us. Come in through us. Gentiles. Then God had to turn Paul right around, smite him right down, fill him with the Holy Ghost, take him out in the desert, and show him the truth, and make him an apostle. That's why he said, whatever I had before was manure. And he had the very best there was available. No, we're at the end time where the imaginations, the reasonings of men's heart have come up where God must one more time destroy the world. And it isn't just because of sexual sins, the sodomite condition. That is only a sign of the problem. That's all. We say, what do you mean, Brother Bill? Just what Brother Branham said. There's only one sin, it's unbelief. Smoking, drinking, adultery are only symptoms. So homosexuality is nothing but the outward exaggeration. Well, I guess I shouldn't use exaggeration because you can hardly exaggerate it. was it, exacerbation? Yeah, of the inner, which is a rotten, filthy condition here, due to unbelief. Why? Because man has consistently confessed with his mouth what Satan put him there. Therefore, he believes in his heart, and his confession is made unto his salvation. Which is, hallelujah, millions now living ain't going to die. When I got word for you, billions living right now are going to die. That goes for the Pentecostal serpent seed. You can say what you want, but I proved serpent seed a while ago here to you. If you're listening. All right, here, say they can do what they want. It's already proven by their knowledge why we're the biggest church in town. What's that got to do with it? Our pastor's got a DD, PhD. What's that got to do with it? The Hindu down the street's got one too, and he says different, see? Doesn't need any faith, relies on knowledge, lets them live anyway. As long as they come to worship him by their denominations and creed. And there's a big black eye there, but look at it. Laughs at God's word, saying things contrary to the word, and tries by their knowledge to prove scientifically that the word isn't true. Oh, what an age we're living in. See, the God of this age. Now listen, the word science means scio scere, which is the Latin word for to know. Scio is the verb. So that's where science comes from, is to know. Now the point is, what do they know? The only thing they know is what they can put together by what is accumulated in their brain by the sense knowledge. Right. Because Einstein may know the formula for energy. I don't. I'm MC squared over something or what. I don't know what it is. I forget. I care less. Maybe it's not even energy. Maybe something else. They got the atomic bomb on it, though. The guy was right. Where'd he get it? Well, he got it by moving all these things around here. Just like Sakharov did. But Sakharov and Einstein, all these guys came to the place where they knew what they had was going to destroy the world. So, if the reasonings of men is abnormal. You're going to get an abnormal society, and you're going to get an abnormal condition, and you got it. Men are destroying themselves, not God. No, they took the wrong bait. See, now, let's look at this again. Here's a big black, is they live by, they worship him by denominations and creed. Now that's what Brother Branham said, the church today worships him by denomination and creed. Now he said, that's a big black eye, but it's true. They laugh at God's word, not just laugh at it, they crucify it, saying things contrary to the word and tries by their knowledge through scientifically that the word isn't true. Now scientifically, what does that mean? It means by conditions as they are and our interpretation upon those conditions as relating to the word of God prophetically and morally. And let me tell you, this just can't work. Now that's what they said. So let's go to the book and let's find out if Brother Branham is right. We go to John chapter 8. Now, verse 12, Jesus began them saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In other words, he said, you watch me. Take a good look. You line up with me. I am the light of life. You will have light. Now, that's just what Satan said. Now, who are you going to believe? Pharisees therefore said, you bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. He didn't even argue. Jesus answered and said, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. See, you're putting it all together. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, the Father sent me bears witness. Well, how do you do it? By signs and wonders. Then he said, where is your Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, would should know my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands in, for his hour was not yet come. Jesus said, I go my way, and ye seek me, or die in your sins. Where I go, ye cannot come. The Jew said, will he kill himself? Because he said, where they go, ye cannot come. And he said, you're from beneath, I am from above. You're of this world, I am not of the world. I said, therefore, unto you, that you should die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, not he, but I am, you'll die in your sins. If you couldn't accept God in the human flesh, you're out. Then they said, who art thou? And Jesus said, even the same I said from the beginning. He said, I don't change my tune. I have many things to say and judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world these things which I have heard of him. They understood not, he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus, when you lift up the Son of Man, you shall know I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, you continue my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth shall set you free. Now notice how it is, there is power in the word. There is no other freedom, there is no other power. But the power that lies in the word by the Holy Ghost, which is the conduit, the word is the conduit. They answered and said, we be Abraham's seed. We never were in bondage to any man. How sayest thou we be made free? Jesus answered, truly, truly, said to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's unbelief. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abides there. If the son therefore shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Notice right there. You seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now, how do you crucify to yourselves the Son of God afresh? It has to do with the word and no place for him. Now, notice at that same time, the earth is going to bring forth. It's going to bring forth fruit, gathering the garner. It's going to bring forth weeds for the burning. Bible says so, Hebrews 6. They answered and said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What's the works of Abraham? Believe God. Now you seek to kill me and identified with the sacrifice. And now, but you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. That's Cain. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. He understood serpent seed. We have no father. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said, O God, your father, you love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Watch. Because you cannot hear my word. Cain couldn't either. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, the devil didn't kill anybody. He never has and never will. There's got to be instrumentality to do it. You say, well, the devil could make this man choke to death. Well, there are things like that you could say. But when you're looking at a murderer, you are looking at Cain. He was of that wicked one. And it was his seed that was lying in these men. See? He bold not in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father. Now notice, he equates the word to truth. Now, there was no truth in him. So there was no word in him to come alive when the Holy Ghost, through the gospel, would slant at him. So you see, Brother Branham told you the truth right down the line. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. They can't. Which of you convinces me of sin? Finds me wrong in one word. If I say the truth, why don't you believe me? Now notice, he that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Now come on, they listened to every word and they refuted it. What does hearing mean? Means to believe it. To make it anything else is as silly as the man who said, the Bible said, over whom the name of the Lord has been, you know, like waved or mentioned, they're saved. He said, I mentioned his name, you're all saved. They weren't saved at all. All right, 133, notice, but God is waiting till the iniquity of these modern Amorites is filled. Now, why could not Moses go into the land and take over? Because the Amorites, Canaanites, the homosexual filth, have not run its course. Are you listening? What do you think is going to happen when the bride gets out of here? You talk about the great tribulation. Brother Branham, I think, said in one place, I would sooner have all the oath of the Knights of Columbus perpetrated upon me than be 5 minutes in the great tribulation. And they're going to keep going on. And I showed you some time ago how they will gnaw like their tongues in pain and blaspheme God. Cain has come back to life, many folks. Why, he said, if anybody kills Cain, why, he said, I'll be avenged. No, that was one of his sons, Lamech, said. Why, he said, if Cain would be avenged, anybody lay a finger on me, I'll be avenged sevenfold. He said the truth. As the serpent seed comes on the earth more and more, the filth and the vileness, the calumny against Almighty God begins to reap its reward, and you watch how God rewards them. How does he reward them? Bringing on them what they bring on themselves. Allowing it. Saying this is the hour for it. The Amorites, don't worry. He'll have his Moses ready at that time. There'll be an exodus someday to the promised land. There'll be a Moses come along who'll call out, restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. It'll come one of these days. You say, well, look how we're progressing. Sure, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It'll come one of these days. Let them destroy themselves. Now, that's exactly what's taking place. And that's why Sakharov turned on science, as science is, and said, forget science, get into politics. And he blew it right there. Because he said, we must now have a political influence among the people. We must have the compassionate, humanitarian view so that no matter how we look in terms of power, we must condescend to the reality of the world, and the reality is people. And Khrushchev said,
so much for that, Stephen.
Brezhnev and the whole bunch determined to destroy him. They did a pretty good job until Gorbachev came along. And without a doubt, he's the greatest statesman of the 20th century. You have to admit it. God forced him into it. Just like he forced Pharaoh under Joseph to take in the Israelites and give them a place of refuge. And so Gorbachev is used right today as Pharaoh was, that God may show his power and authority and glory in him, because he's going to have to come under the rule of the Pope, because neither Bush nor Gorbachev make any move until they talk to that fat, stupidly dressed, pagan Antichrist. I'd sooner take a chance on them skewering me and making me roast than be in the great lake of fire, which he's going to be in. There's no way. Because he doesn't have a clue. He talks about holy robes. Holy robe my foot. I read over here, or did I? Yeah. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and in verse 10, what Paul said, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, that was in Paul's day. He brought it into light. But what happens in our day? It's brought into reality. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That's from 1 Corinthians 13 and 9. The glass is no longer dark, face to face, and changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, at the end time, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it was believing that brought it into a reality. Okay. Now, in the same 2 Timothy, as he's speaking, going to the 3rd chapter, about this end time, know this. Also, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, what is a lover of their own selves? They're dependent entirely upon their five senses and the ability they have to analyze and synthesize and philosophize. That's a good word or not, I don't know. But they do it anyway. Now, what are they? They're covetous. They're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. Disobedient parents. Unthankful. Unholy. With amorous affection. Now, these are the guys that you can see are running the churches. Now, in there, you will notice what? Let me get it. Without natural affection. Sex is a part of affection. There are no two ways about it. If you just put or had your arms around somebody, you can't get away from those feelings that are involved therein. So let's not kid ourselves, but let's understand the truth. No marriage without sex. I'm not saying there couldn't be some kind of a love, but God really didn't make you that way, so let's face it. So let's not try to be above the Word of God, shall we? They don't have it. Homosexuals in the church. Covetous people. Boasters. Like the Pope. Proud. Like his ministers. And they're amongst the Protestants too, so don't worry, I'm hitting the whole church. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. A truce breaker is what? A guy that says, the interim peace is over, we're back to war. Hey, who's leading this crowd? Satan. He's at war with God. So the church is at war with God as it's never been at war before. Only this time it's changed its tactics. That's what I was talking about. I talked about Israel going to the Amorites and killing them all off to make sure they had the word there. What does the end time church do under the Pope? He'll kill them if necessary. He'll starve when necessary. He'll issue the money. He'll control them all. He'll force the issue to have a people who are purely one word, one mind, one hand. In the forehead, in the hand. Don't think he's not going to. Don't sit around and say, well, that's down the road, you know. Yes, you know, and we haven't turned the corner. And, you know, these things I believe in a sort of a way, you know. But you know how things change. And we thought this many years ago and this guy preached that. But you know how it is. We've had vindication. We've had God's integrity manifested for a tub of lies or the truth. Now, you rest on that. Now, let me tell you something. And get this straight. The integrity of God was blasphemed by Satan. And he let her know that this God could not be trusted. Now listen to me. If God cannot be trusted because he's a bum of some description. Now listen carefully. Then neither can his prophets. Why do you think that guy was so mad at David? What was his name? Brother Branham talked a lot about him. He spit at David and cursed him. And that doesn't matter. I got a poor memory today, but you know who he was. I can imagine him standing there. Oh, yes, he said. This is that great king prophet. Oh, yeah. All those psalms he made to God. The psalms we sing in worship. He claims God spoke to him. Ha! He's scuzzier than anybody I know. Because he was the king. He took the most beautiful woman when he had 499 wives with their tongues literally hanging out. Had to commit adultery.
Get her pregnant. Kill the husband. Take the woman. So much for God. I can see the old guy puking as well as spitting. Prophets are human. That doesn't excuse them. I want to tell you something. When they crucified the perfect one, Jesus, it doesn't matter what anybody ever does or doesn't do. Satan has no use for the word and will always impugn the integrity of God and make him try to look like something that just isn't there, just isn't right. Like they'll try to tell you right now with their moralistic religion that God has transformed himself. That God has changed. Why, one time he was that violent God that said eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but now he says turn the other cheek. They forget wherein God once wanted immediate judgment. Because he wanted Saul to destroy Agag, and Samuel had to do it. That God has now said, don't worry, they're going to get worse than an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'm waiting till the judgment day. Read your Bibles. God hasn't changed. The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. And Jehovah ain't nothing but Elohim. Just the roles he plays and what he's doing. Well, they couldn't take it. They don't like it. Now, lovers of pleasure, not lovers of God, have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. What is your proof of your morals or your godliness? You got a standard. So they go to the word perverted to get their standard, and there's no life in the perverted word. They deny the power. Jesus said, you made my word void of power. You've annulled every promise by your traditions, which is by your teaching. Comes the word deco. Tradeco, cross, write, or speak. Now the word tradition is a good enough word, but you can use it in wrong ways. Now it says, this sort creep into houses. Notice they just ooze and they creep. Satan never said, listen, girl, I'm going to tell you. You put that junk away about God. Let me tell you something. Forget that word. That wasn't a word at all. That's your imagination. He just oozed in. A type of seduction. Seduction is a legitimate game. Rape is against the law. When did seduction become legitimate? It never was. The devil seduced. Now his bunch make it legitimate. To your kids they say consenting adults or, you know, a nice affair. Okay, get your AIDS. Sure. You think they're not gonna? Oh, you people. I wouldn't be in your boots for $1 billion. I'm glad I've lived my life. You think I don't have compassion? I do. I've got great worry. But it says these never. They're always learning. Always, always, always something comes in to change it. You know why people are ever learning? Because they keep changing what they believe. If you stick with the presence, the vindicated prophet bringing the word, you got a pretty good chance of understanding it all. But the minute you make it just the doctrine and cover it in 1.5 hours and smart off as well, that bunch, you know, down there around the graph of that jackass Lee, they take hours and hours and hours. In fact, one guy said he preached 24 sermons. I think I recall I preached 48. So it wasn't 36 hours, it was 72. Presence, 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 presence. You know, I'm going to tell you something. These guys that say they believe presence, they're a bunch of liars. They're just like the guy that, you know, he hid his face behind the newspaper for 50 years. He really didn't know what his wife was like. He just thought he did. He haven't got a clue. Now listen. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and this is the point I want to get to because Brother Branham says it. So did these men resist truth. Now, it doesn't say that Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. Is they withstood Moses. In other words, they stood right up to him. They said, we don't care two bits for what you call your vindication. Because we don't believe what comes out of your vindication. So drop dead, bud. They withstood Brother Branham, resisted the truth. They wouldn't let him in their churches. Told him the full gospel businessman had a bit to do with it and a few scared preachers around the edges. Now watch what it says. They're men of, they're corrupt. Corrupt minds. Reprobate concerning faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all angels and God. That word men doesn't belong in there. As was also Jannes and Jambres. The white throne, brother, sister, is here already, whether you know it or not. Now, Brother Branham says, all right. It'll come one of these days, restoring the faith back, what, to the fathers. And Paul said, though you have many instructors, you have only one father. So this gospel has got to go back to Paul, because nobody else is mentioned as the apostle to the Gentiles. And Peter sure blew it. He didn't have the revelation when he said Timothy had better be circumcised. Find that in the Word of God. That covenant was with Israel. It has nothing to do with the Gentiles. The circumcision covenant today has to do with your covenant mind with the Word of Almighty God. So the life now comes out of the Word. Sure, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It'll come one of these days. Let them destroy themselves. And they do. Civilization knowledge, that's the knowledge that comes from civilization, the knowledge that brings civilization, the civilization brings knowledge, which means now political orientation, perverts God's word to suit their own taste. Every denomination does the same thing. Why, absolutely, writes this little book and it's all over. Do you know something? There never will be books written on Brother Branham. There never will be enough sermons preached where people think, well, we got this thing nailed down. Just as soon as the bride has exactly what she needs to know and have puts her in a position, the last word upon word, where everyone is full of the Holy Ghost, the transformation taking place, the dead come out of the ground, they'll be gone, and nobody can write a book. They'll never organize it. Why, we fight worse than two tomcats with their tails tied together and thrown over a clothesline. I can tell you that right now. You want to get some red-hot belly scratches, you join in the fun, you'll get them. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. They think it's a personal thing. It's not a personal thing with me at all. It's only personal insofar that if he isn't here, who is here? Who is that? Where is he? What has he done? What's he going to do? What's it all about? Or put it down as a phenomenon. Say, well, Brother Branham shot his big fat mouth off and something backed him up, but who gives a rip anyway? Well, I do, because I want to know what's out there. Maybe I'll never get an answer. It's the best I got. I'm going to hang on to it. Civilization knowledge perverts God's word to suit your own taste. Every denomination does the same thing. Satan then preaches his own gospel of knowledge in his own church. And what is his gospel of knowledge? It is the perverted word. Now, just a minute. Let's go something else. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be grass. Let there be cows. Let there be horses. Let there be this, let there be that thing. All right. What then does man do? Oh, he brings a Darwin on the scene. Satan brings him on. See, I got news for you. It's evolution. I'm like Joseph Sabin. Where is the mutation? Where is one mutation? Can't do it. You can see where they're lying. See? But at the end time, they'll preach something everybody can agree to. 135, there's only two classes being spoken in the New Testament. Only two classes, children of God and children of the devil. Do you know that? You want to put it down? Sure. 1 John 3:10. We've gone there so many times, it's just wonderful to go back there again. I love it, don't you? That's one of my favorites. 1 John 3:10, it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. They are known by their attitude to revelation. Well, said one, foot washing, who needs it? Our feet don't get dirty over here. That was just for over these, where the feet get dirty. Well, bully for you. It was part of God's love. So don't throw it out with the dishwater. Don't throw it out. See? If you want the scripture, I'm reading it right here. Got it written out. All right. He said, now listen. How much time we got? 20 minutes? That's enough for today. This goes on a long way for education. You understand what education is? Education is leading people forth by what is within them. And I want to tell you something. God allowed Eve, not in the original creation, to let her flesh get the better of her, bringing us all into sin. That's where the battle's been all down the line. But you notice, she sure turned back to God in a hurry. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your kindness to us this day. We just pray now, Lord, as we go into baptismal service, your hand be upon us for the great good that you alone can do for us. Lord, may those candidates be wonderfully blessed, not in the act of obedience, which we find very, very fine, very, very good, very wonderful, but Lord, factually is coming up out of the water to now be in a newness of life as never before. Not that water does it, but symbolical of what has been done and is being done, piling word upon word, life upon life, until, Lord, one day the dead will come out of the ground, because they without us cannot be made perfect. And we, Lord, standing in that perfection, which is the end of the word as concerning the human race of which we are a part, getting ready to go into millennium, thoroughly glorified. And so, Lord, here are people standing in this hour, piling word upon word, such as could not have been piled before, and the life of the head coming forth. And we know since the head came out of the grave, and he's our head, Jesus Christ, the body will follow, will be changed, we'll all go into rapture. So, Father, help us now, at this particular time, to see your word, to understand it, as concerning these principles, we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. We'll just read a little scripture here before John and Trish go and prepare for their water baptism. It says over here in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, talking about the earth being baptized in water at the time of Noah, which signified and actually did wipe everything out but the 8 people in the ark. And that which God wanted taken over there of the animal kingdom to start it over, so you can see what's going to happen again. Now watch. For Christ, verse 18, 1 Peter 3, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Now, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh. See? It's not that. It doesn't make you clean, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. What does that mean? It means simply that you know that you are one of Christ, and you show it by the water baptism, even as, now watch, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angel authority and powers being made subject to him. Now, just keep that in mind, and let's turn back to Acts 2 and 33. Let's read what it says there. And it says, this Jesus, 32, hath God raised up, whereof all witnesses. Now watch, therefore this Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has said for this which you now see and hear. Now what was that? The Holy Ghost came and baptized over 300 people on the day of Pentecost. So what's he saying here in Peter? He's telling you that after water baptism positively comes the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now how is that done? Piling word upon word. until you're completely filled. You say, what about gifts? You can have gifts too, but that's not the answer. The answer is the Word. Now notice, it says, it's not putting away the filth of flesh. Water baptism doesn't do it. No, the blood does that. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. What does it mean? My conscience is clear toward God. I understand. I'm a child of God. I'm going to get baptized in water. I believe in His resurrection. And because He is at the right hand of Majesty, in fact, He's actually on the throne right now. Power delivered unto Him. Well, God puts all things under His feet. So how much more then can people receive the Holy Ghost than ever before? And then piling word upon. In other words, there's a start right here and a going on and going on. So I'd like the two of them, two, John and Trish, they should come up out of the water. Just believe now that God is doing for you just exactly what the Scripture said, because He cannot fail. Now, you and I can fail. We can misunderstand. We can have feelings, everything else, but God doesn't go by that. He goes by His own integrity. We're not living by the faith of ourselves. We're living by the faith of Jesus, the covenant that He made with His Son before there was a speck of stardust. We are living by that. The faithfulness of God to His own Son. And that faith offered like Isaac when they went up on the mountain. Whatever father did was okay. There was a covenant there. So we see the covenant God is answering back to us as He answered back to Jesus. Did He raise Him from the dead? Absolutely. Does He do what He says here? Absolutely. You're not depending on your own faith. You're depending on His faith. I'd have faith in my faith, forget it. See, let me tell you what. Do you believe that God is putting everything under the feet of Jesus right now, like He said? See, if you don't believe that, hey, forget it. Because that's Jesus' faith in His Father. That's right in the Scripture. This day have I begotten thee. This day angels worship you. See? Your throne is secure. I'm putting everything under your feet. Now, do you think that Jesus believed His Father? The Bible says He's expecting. I'm not expecting my expectations. I'm expecting His expectations. Amen. That I'm a part of it. Now we're getting somewhere. So what about water baptism? Same thing. I'm doing because He said so. Why did He say so? He's got faith in what the Father said He'd do. That's what we're looking at. Well, let's bow our heads again. Heavenly Father, again, we want to commit ourselves unto You, these two faithful witnesses. Fill them to Yours, O God. Come at this particular time, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe this, and Lord, we have faith in Your faith, Jesus. That's been placed in our hearts also. Knowing that all things are being put under Your feet. You're the head of the church. We're not ready to rise out of water with You. We believe the dead will soon rise out of the earth, and we shall also rise with them to the wedding supper. We believe that Your promise, the Father's, is coming to pass. Whatever now lies for them at this particular time, there is no worry, there is no emotions, nothing. It's all in Your hands, Father. They're doing what You said. You're doing the rest. We give You the glory in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's fine. If you should, good brother and sister, come on along here now. I think you know where the rooms are at the back. There's one for each of you. Any bunch of preachers ever thought of knowing? We just have one obligation, preach the word, then stand back and watch it. See where it goes and what it brings for it. Brother Branham always had water calls. I criticize myself sometimes, just only sometimes we don't have many people coming in here, you know, that we don't get more water calls. A water call, not an altar call, is what it's all about. If you believe, something touched you, this is your witness, your evidence. Whenever you're ready there, Bill, it's fine.
Thank you. Trish, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I think at this time we could rise and be dismissed. We'll just take the name of Jesus with you.